Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Well, good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Thursday. Great to be here with you. Thank you so much for listening. If you listen live, we always appreciate that, certainly. If you are a podcaster and you listen via the podcast, thanks for hanging in with us yesterday. Had a little glitch, and people were really concerned. They thought we got blown out. And it happens in radio. One morning you're listening to your favorite show. The next morning, they're not there. And no one tells you why. And it's happened. I've been here 15 years. It's happened a dozen times where they didn't even say goodbye. They're just out. So we are here. And if you do listen to the podcast, I believe all the issues have been resolved. So you should be able to get the podcast, listen at your leisure. Really appreciate it. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer who caught most of the emails and DMs yesterday about, Paulie, where's the podcast?
Yeah, super fun yesterday.
Super
fun. Those are
such fun days. So Paulie is here. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And Benjamin, did you get any DMs or anything about the podcast being missing? Where are you guys? I can't find you.
No, I saw our tweets about it.
Yes.
But I didn't know one was actually contacting me saying, I miss you. Where are you?
Well,
people don't complain to me as much. I don't think so.
I went to the DMs of our Instagram, and I go, oh my God, what?
Yeah.
There was like 50, and I'm like, well, we didn't really have that great of a show. So my guess is they're not going to be like, hey, this was so funny. I started going through them, and it was screenshots of no podcasts in their, you know, in their queue. And I said, got a glitch, working through it. Just kind of copy and paste to each person. But yeah, so there we should be good to go moving forward, I hope.
Ultimately, yeah, it should be fine. It was weird because it's not like yesterday's podcasts were the only ones that weren't uploading or something. It was every episode we've ever published to, like, we're talking Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or whatever.
Yeah.
They were erased.
Erased.
Gone.
Fully.
No existence of Ben. And so I can understand why people are like, whoa, did you guys, everything okay? Had a ton of people reach out, which was a little bit of a headache. But I do want to say I appreciate everyone that reached out. I had one guy in particular. I think it was Wyatt. He messaged me. He goes, hey, man, you don't even have to respond to me. I'm sure you got a bunch of people reaching out. Just wanted to let you know the podcasts aren't showing up. I'm like, I know. And I wrote back. I go, hey, I appreciate you reaching out. I'd rather have 1,000 people reach out to me with the same concern.
That means they're listening.
Then nobody notice or nobody care and nobody reach out at all.
Yeah, that's not what you want. I just realized, too, if you look at us, we look like complete and total buffoons right now on the YouTube feed. We're all in black tees. This was not planned. It was not planned. We look ridiculous.
Like every 6 weeks.
You're getting a lot of, are you going to a funeral? What's going on? You guys look like a backstage crew on a plane.
Funeral in my joggers, my black tee.
I think that's it. We're the backstage crew. La Jolla Playhouse. Come see Rent at the La Jolla Playhouse and see us, you know, work on the lighting and stuff.
We did not wear this because Matt Waldron got crushed. We did not wear it because the Padres season is dead. We didn't wear it. We're not in mourning.
We wore it because we're fat.
Yeah, black always.
If you really want to know,
I look good in black. I don't know what to tell you.
The secret's out.
There it is. Yeah, if I could get pinstripes going down it, I would.
We're both on the roundtable later today. Yes. So, you know, you see us and we just figure, I'll just clean black. We'll be a nice look for the roundtable. I didn't know you were going to wear it. I didn't know Polly was going to wear it.
My wife says they look like, you guys look like MAC makeup artists. Yeah. You come into Nordstrom's and there we are at the MAC counter. Like, what's your problem? Yeah, no, I can see those massive bags under your eyes. Come here. Get over here for a second. Yeah, it looks ridiculous. We look ridiculous. I can't even look
can't
at
even
the
see
screen.
The lines, can you, Russ?
Like, look, I can't even look at the screen, dude. We look stupid. Jeez.
I don't have any more t-shirts here. I'll wear a 97.3 shirt if we have one. It's building somewhere.
We have a towel I can drape around my neck or something, anything. A scarf. I got to. This looks absurd. It's really throwing me off.
I was going to wear my Ass shirt that you got us yesterday.
You should have.
But I thought, well, clearly one of the other guys is going to also wear their shirt tomorrow, so I don't need to wear it. We got to, like, do we have to coordinate? Do we have to start texting each other?
I guess. Right. Jose says, so Paul will be a part of the roundtable. That would be awesome. Yeah, you're more than, you can have my slot today. Kurt says, would he take the shirt off? Absolutely not, Kurt. I'm not going to sit here, Kurt.
This various stages of undress.
I'm not going to. Quit asking.
We look ridiculous. We look ridiculous. And it sucks. And I can't believe it. And I hate it. We really do. We really look stupid.
Oh. There was a day, it was a couple weeks ago at Channel 10, and Kimberly Hunt was doing the news, I think alongside Lindsay Pena. And they both just happened to be wearing orange dresses on the same day.
which pops.
Yeah. And it's such an unusual color that they both chose to wear on the same day, on the same show. And it's not much you can do about it. It's, you know, you think, are there text threads every day? Like, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? Make sure that we don't wear the same thing. There isn't, really.
No.
At least not at our level of television. You just pick what you're going to wear and you wear it when you come in, and then all of a sudden you get there and you go, oh, this is going to look kind of silly because we're wearing the same thing.
It looks so bad.
I'm going to bring like an old hoodie or a different t-shirt and just
leave it here.
Leave it in the office.
Well, I usually have a hoodie, but it's 150 degrees
right.
outside.
I always wear a hoodie.
It's 100 degrees in here every single day. Yeah, we look like waiters at a wedding. May I take your order, please?
Order.
I would like to order up a dub tonight. I hate the Mets. God, do I hate the Mets, man. I really, really want. And four games with these guys. Oh, my God. So, yeah, we've got that to talk about today. We've got the conundrum of Matt Waldron and what you do with him moving forward. And it's not a good trend. You know the thing that makes me most sad about Matt Waldron? It's his face. He always looks like he's in serious emotional pain. He looks like when I raise my voice to my kids, specifically Taylor, Matt Waldron has Taylor face. And then I start to feel bad immediately. So I even feel bad talking about Matt Waldron's bad performance yesterday because of the, you see it? Like the.
Well, I certainly saw the shots of him sitting in the dugout afterwards, hands.
The Kershaw. Yeah, he was doing the full Kershaw.
Yeah,
you know, that bit.
Puts his hands on his forehead, looking down, and it's very sad. And
yeah, it's sad. Well, you sit there and you watch that. I know exactly what shot you're talking about because I saw it too. And it has to be running through your head, am I done? Am I washed? He's basically a rookie, right? Like, this is my rookie year, and I'm not getting the job done, and we're in a pennant race. Like, yeah, man, I would say that would like freak me out a little bit too if I could not you know get it together. And you know, and I guess in his defense, offense had a chance early, didn't do a damn thing, you know, didn't do anything, had a chance to get on the board after a clean first inning, and they did nothing. So you're not gonna win a lot of games when your starting pitcher gives up seven runs. You're just not. So, hey, listen, it is what it is. We move on today. I don't know what you do with him moving forward. I'm sure we will have some theories and conversations about that, but Ben already kind of dove into off the air what's down on the farm, per se, and that ain't good either. So, listen, not to be doom and gloom, because we're not 13-5 in August. Great, great team out of the break. No worries. He's at the end of the day from the Twins. Let's relax and have fun. I know, again, we look like we're going to a funeral. This is not a Padres funeral at all. But Matt Waldron's sad face made me sad because he has a very, very sad face.
Does the beard accentuate the sad face,
so
perhaps?
When he cut his hair, He looked, I was like, okay, now that's your look. You look great. He cut his hair and he was like really sharp and angular. He's looked good. But man, when things start going south, you see like the face kind of just start to droop a little bit. He's upset. And I get it. I get it. You're not helping your team.
I feel like he looks like a serious doctor sometimes.
Do you?
Like, put a lab coat on him.
I don't
him
get that.
Maybe a psychologist and you walk in and he's got kind of a serious bearded face.
Reminds me of like a sad puppy, dude. He's got the sad puppy face, you know? And then, you know, we know he's a competitor. You know, you don't make it to the big leagues not being a competitor. He has a sad face, and that makes me sad. So that's where my head's
but
at.
But even when he's pitching well,
it still has sad
it's
face.
Still sad face. Yeah. Let's not.
He's just maybe it's just permanent sad face.
I don't want to confuse everybody. He's not necessarily sad because things haven't been going well. Even when things
face.
Were going well, yeah. You think he still has kind of sad face.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, yeah, not a. 10 in the outing. Yeah, not 7 in an inning, 10 total in the outing. Yeah, that's worse than what I said. So you're just not going to win a lot of ball games when that happens. But we will plow forward. We will move on. We will talk about yesterday's game. Not a lot of things to highlight. There's a couple of things that you can look at if you want to look at positives moving forward. I did not hear any of Mike Schilt's post game. I was kind of over it at that point. Did anybody happen to hear any?
I listened to the whole thing.
How was it?
I don't remember.
Yeah. All right. It was very
unmemorable.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, as it should be. You're going to have...
Yeah, well, Wallner, you know, hit a big shot in the second.
Yeah,
and then,
the recap. Okay, you know, that's, which back. Is fine. Which is
Wallner,
fine.
He did, there was some, he'd been really good for us for a long time. And you
there
know,
was some back and forth about Waldron, and he's one of the guys that got them to this point. I don't, you know, regardless of... If he gets dominated every outing for the rest of this season, that guy still stepped up and got us to this point.
Well, yeah, 100%. And Wesley had just made the point that we made yesterday. I said it, and I'll wear it completely. Hey, man, he gets through the first inning clean. You feel like you're in pretty good shape because that's not something he's done a lot of. And, boy, he got through the first inning clean, got through the second inning clean, got through the third inning clean.
Gave up one run in the third.
One in the third. That was the third or the fourth?
Third.
Third, okay.
Fourth is when he gave up seven.
By the way, the Twins scoring first was... maybe the easiest money I made all year. Just FYI, yesterday, maybe the easiest
Padres
money.
Had a couple of they chances had. To not make it. That easy money.
I was sweating it a little bit. But yeah, it was just, look, I understand, man, that like, oh, look at the face, the sad face. Paulie put it in there.
But he could have just, you know, found out the best news of his life.
He could have just struck out the
that
side.
That might be a picture after a 7 innings, 1-run performance, and he's walking off in success. We don't know.
Yeah. It's tough, man. That's a tough one. They're, you know, look, they're a good team. They were scratching to salvage a win yesterday. They got it, and you know, they just bodied the Padres yesterday. So what? You won the series. You move on. Mets come to town. You got to reshift your focus, and you like what you have going against the Mets the next few days, and should be a really, really good playoff atmosphere type series against the New York Mets. So anyway, we will get to that, and we will get to more, and Ben will set the menu for us next.
That is next. Kelly Danick's got traffic. We are underway. We'll be here for the next 4 hours and 47 minutes if you include the roundtable. So lots of Ben and Woods on a Thursday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Kind of lamenting the fact this morning that, you know, Padres, we would have taken 2 out of 3 against the Twins. Mm-hmm. And when we started this series, the analysis, and I think it still is correct, very evenly matched teams,
sure,
record-wise, run differential, place in the standings, fighting for the playoffs. Good team, Minnesota Twins, coming into town. 2 out of 3 is what you're going for against good teams like that. And the Padres did their job, took their 2 out of 3. That's a very successful series. But they lost ground to both the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers, yep, in the NL West, who both swept their opponents, their M opponents, the Mariners and the Marlins, in their series. So the Padres now start a 4-game series against the Mets, 4 games behind the Dodgers, and tied with the Arizona Diamondbacks in the National League wild card race. They're still 4 games up on the Braves. They're 5.5 games up on the Mets. And that's a big series starting tonight because, well, I mean, do the math. You're 5.5 games up on the Mets. They're the first team that's not in the playoffs. So that's kind of your, that's the danger team. You know, the Braves and Diamondbacks could catch you and you're still in the playoffs. But if the Mets catch you, then you're not in the playoffs anymore. They're 5.5 back. They've got 4 chances. All right. You're telling me that it's not going through the heads of Mets fans, certainly, and probably in their clubhouse as well. I know it's a tough challenge, but if we could go into San Diego and we sweep this series, we're all of a sudden 1.5 games back in the playoff chase.
Crazy.
And we are absolutely have all the momentum with 1 month left in the season trying to steal a playoff spot from the Padres or anybody else. So big series starting tonight at Petco Park. Big series. One of the biggest ones remaining, I would say, in the regular season.
No question. And I think you can copy and paste big series and just plug it in for the rest of the year. I mean, you know, depending on what you're, as a fan, depending on what you're expecting. You know, if you're expecting them to win the division, then yeah, I mean, you need to win a ton of games moving forward, and you need help more than likely. So if you're expecting them to just back into the playoffs or eke into the playoffs, it's not going to be a last fun month or so for you, right? And they got to get this thing figured out today, tomorrow. They got to get, you know, what is your goal in a 4-game set, right? I mean,
3 out of 4.
3 out of 4. That's what you want. You want 3 out of 4. It's going to be a tough. Well, it's going to be a tough order.
Cease Musgrove King,
sir,
to start.
I mean, yeah.
There you go.
That's it. I mean, go get him.
Go get him.
Yeah, go get him.
3 out of 4. Need him.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. This is what you live for if you're a fan of a baseball team. There's a lot of other morning shows for a lot of other teams right now that are not talking this way. I was surprised that. Because a couple leads, you know, the Marlins have just been ravaged. They've been ravaged. They traded away all their players, right? Like, and then obviously the Mariners with their brilliant pitching cannot get a lot of runs across the plate right now. So, listen, didn't get any help at all. 1, 2, or 3, still lost a game. It's going to happen. So you got to regroup and just handle your business.
All right, coming up on the program, we'll have our Padres wrap up in our next segment. Obviously, not a good one, but some issues to discuss, including the aforementioned Matt Waldron and his spot in the starting rotation. 7 o'clock hour, usual features. We've got a throwback Thursday, which means we'll play a little real or fake, try to qualify someone for our trip to Las Vegas, the Carrie Underwood tickets. Don't do this at 7:20. 7:35, we can get into some more Padres talk. Second half of the program, Paulie's got some Throwback Thursday clips for us, as he always does. I always enjoy that part of a Throwback Thursday show. 8:35, our Smart Baseball segment. Eno Saris from The Athletic will check in. He had an interesting piece this week, and I hadn't realized this, but it was on mound heights. I guess I just assumed that in Major League Baseball, every mound was the exact same height because, you know, uniformity, and it's supposed to be exactly the same, but it's not. And they can measure it based on, you know, release point and angle and all the, you know, the equipment that they have to do that. Petco Park actually has one of the lower mounds in baseball.
Interesting.
90 feet and 60 and a half for the mound are pretty much the only uniformity in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, the
fences are all different.
The stadiums are different. The playing surface is different. Did you guys catch that little moment yesterday when, Mason McCoy
got his first hit.
Matt McCoy. Mason McCoy goes out to short for, you know, his first appearance, and he looks over at, I think it was Solano, and did you see when the camera went to him? He goes, "Is it fast? Is it fast? Like, is the ground?" And Solano was like, "What?" And he goes, he like pointed at the ground. He goes, "Is it fast?" Different playing surfaces, different You know, there's
a difference even between like AAA and the big leagues, maintenance, manicuring of the fields. Most big league fields are going to be faster than minor league fields.
Oh, big
now,
time.
There are some that are faster and slower inside Major League Baseball itself. Wrigley's always known as kind of a slower field. That grass is kind of stickier and the ball does not travel as much. So maybe you have to play in a little bit more. But I think Petco is, you know, a typically fast track. For infielders.
Paulie and I got to play a game there.
It was awesome.
You think that it's grass. It's not. It's not grass. It's just not.
It is real grass. It's not fake.
It's real grass, but it's not like the grass in your front yard. Like if you
mow, it's more like a golf course.
If you mowed your grass down,
even different from a golf course.
It's different than a golf course. It's like it's spongy a little bit. Yeah, it's really really cool and different. So yeah, McCoy, first time out, they look. Is it fast? And he's like, okay. We'll talk about a couple of the cool moments that happened yesterday. I think that was one of them. Anytime a guy comes in and gets his first big league knock, that's always a cool moment. But yeah, in a game like that, look, clunkers happen. We were due for a clunker. Clunker came, and how do you rebound? How do you reset? And does your offense, you know, show up and get nasty a little bit earlier? Which is, in my opinion, what they really need to do, man. They kind of what the Diamondbacks do. You know, they really go after their opponents. They don't miss a lot of chances, Benny, to score runs. They just don't. So that's kind of why they scare me.
The Padres,
they're also playing the Marlins.
The Padres do that as well. And I had, you know, Matt Walter not given up 7 runs. Ten. Had he only given up, well, in that one inning, but 10 total.
Oh, don't do this.
I think the Padres would have made a game of that. I mean, their offense always comes back and challenges.
100%. They even scratched a few runs out
late. If it was a 5-1 game or 5-0 game, Padres are still in that. They can come back from deficits like that. No one's coming back from down 8-0, though. I mean, that's a once in a every 5 seasons sort of thing that you come back from 8-0.
I think the friggin' Reds did it yesterday. They were down. I think they scored 9. They were down 6-0. And they scored 9 unanswered.
But it happens very rarely in baseball when a team gets down by that many and can come back. You need a lot of luck and things that go your way that you can't even control at that point to come back from that big of a deficit. So that game was a lost cause. I actually think Mike Shildt managed it correctly as a lost cause in that game yesterday.
I saw people that were furious that he left Waldron out there, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
I got texts. We can talk about this coming up. Yeah, I got texts.
That's a good topic.
What the heck is Mike Shildt doing? And I sent a reply, and the guy that texted me, who I work with,
said,
Steve.
Oh.
The guy I work with named Steve.
It was not me.
It was not you. Said, okay. Now that you explain it, I kind of understand what he was doing. But he was like mad. Like, what?
Oh, I saw it too.
What is Mike Shildt doing
and I'm looking
here?
At it. I'm looking at it. I go, don't engage. So I didn't engage. I have a radio show. We can engage.
Fairly obvious.
I thought it was a no-brainer
get them all out of here.
100%.
If you're one of those going, what was going on with the decision-making, we can talk about that coming up in our next segment. 9 o'clock hour, Rindle Report. I know at some point, Wivato's retirement announcement yesterday.
My sweet angel.
We've got a series against the Mets to look ahead to, and then a roundtable at 10 o'clock, 10 to 11, as we all get together to discuss the team. I've got some topics for everybody. We'll have some pizza for everybody.
Not for everyone.
Well, everybody that's here in this building.
Right. Well, what does that do for our audience? We'll be eating pizza.
Makes you want pizza. Which then makes you order pizza
from Roundtable
later in the day, which is ultimately their point of sponsoring the Roundtable.
100%.
You to order a pizza later today. So I'll whet your appetite for all of it.
Why Roundtable?
Simply the best.
It simply is. We'll come back. Our Padres wrap up and get into yesterday's 11-4 loss to the Minnesota Twins. Next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. For the superstitious among us, take your victory lap. Maybe Sammy Levitt should have stuck around on the radio booth another day.
Yeah, he's 2-0.
He's got his 2-0 record. I think he's happy holding on to that for the time being. We had Jesse back, which was great. Unfortunately, he didn't have a lot of highlights to call in yesterday's game. We will go through them. Got our Padres wrap-up coming up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete
Crap!
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Another 2-2. Lewis swings, sends it in the air to center field. Not very deep. Merrill, though, over to his left. He's going to make the catch. Castro tagging at third, heading home. The throw will go to third. Not in time to get Larnick. Sacrifice fly, Royce Lewis. And a 1-0 Minnesota lead in the third. One pitch lined in the air down the left field side. Oh, that's a fair ball. Going to bounce and roll into the corner. Julian on his way home. He'll score. They're waving Vasquez. He's on his way. Wade's relay to the plate is not in time. Two-run double for Austin Martin. And the Twins now lead it 3-0. Richitter batting left-handed. Swings at the first pitch. Sends it in the air. Peralta backing up. Going to play it off the wall. Trying to deke the runner, Martin, but he's going to try and score anyway. The throw will come into second base. An RBI double for Castro, and now 4-0 Twins. 2-1, Wallner hits it in the air to deep right field. That one way back, going to go. Long three-run homer for Matt Wallner, and it has gotten away from Matt Waldron here in the fourth inning. 8-0 Minnesota. Solano puts a charge in one deep to left center field. Larnick back, going to watch, going to go. Pinch hit, home run, Donovan Solano. Now 7-for-13 as a pinch hitter this year, and the Padres are on the board. Pitch on the way to Bryce Johnson, who has turned around to bat left-handed, and he muscles it on a line into center field, base hit. RBI single Bryce Johnson as Cronenworth trots home, and the Padres now down 10-2 here in the bottom of the eighth. Merrill sends one high and deep down the right field line. Will it stay fair? Yes, it will. A moonshot down the line and a two-run home run. Number 18 for Merrill. A two-run shot in the eighth and now 10-4. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, muscled in the air over Campusano and into right field. A base hit. Julian rounding third. He'll come in to score. And an RBI single for Manuel Margot. 11-4 Minnesota in the ninth. 0-2. And a rise in the air to right field straight away. Wallner in a couple of steps now to his right. He makes the catch. And the ball game is over. Tough day for Matt Waldron. Twins avoid the sweep here at Petco. And they beat the Padres 11-4 this afternoon.
I just love the competition all the way to the end. I mean, clearly it didn't come out on our side. Talk about guys fighting, scratching, and clawing. I loved the result for him, Arise. I loved his last at bat. Last at bat of the game, and this guy is competing his tail off. And Jackson normalizes competing regardless of circumstance, puts a good swing. You know, this is what winners do, man. They compete regardless of circumstances, and guys did it today. The effort level and the fight was there.
Woods.
Hi. Good morning.
Well, that's Mike Schilt for you. You're not at this point. If you expected anything else, you would just haven't been paying attention the rest of the season. Yeah. It's on you at this point. Yeah. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. So, yeah, Matt Waldron. I was like locked in first couple of innings. Can he get over those struggles in the first couple of innings? And he did. You know, he was using the knuckleball less, and I thought, okay, he's got a strategy here. He's going to save the knuckleball, see if he can get through the first couple of innings without it. And then if he does, boy, he is set up for a good start here. Now he unleashes the knuckleball. It's going to be fluttering all over the place. And I was thinking, all right, this is going to be a good Matt Waldron start, but he never really was able to employ the knuckleball the way he has in so many of his other starts. It was his lowest usage, if not all season, certainly in a long time, like 22%. He had been up to like 40% knuckleball usage or higher in some of his starts when he was on his good run. And ultimately, the Twins just eventually locked in. And in that fourth inning, 7 straight hits. And at that point, the game was 8-0, and the game was essentially over. Boom. 5 straight struggling starts for Matt Waldron, who now has an ERA over 10 in the month of August. And the Padres clearly
have some discussions to take place about his spot in the starting rotation and what they're going to do, even as soon as Monday, when his next scheduled start would be against the St. Louis Cardinals in the opener to that road trip.
Yeah, honestly, man, and you pulled some numbers this morning about, you know, what some of the potential replacements would be. And I think, Randy Vasquez has given us a little bit at the big league level this year. Yes, he has shown some really, really good fight. And
had
some...
a 3.6 ERA over his final eight starts with the Padres before being sent down on August 9th.
It's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good for where he slots in the rotation and all that. I mean, that's essentially the fifth starter role now, right? Because Cease is today, you know, Cease, King, Musgrove, right?
I mean, problem is you kind of had two fifth starters
You kind of do.
Martin Perez has done well, but he gave some ground in his last start. And now Matt Waldron's kind of,
he's giving a lot of
ground. At the beginning of the year that he was going to be the fifth starter. That's where he started the year. Pitched so well that he became maybe your most consistent and reliable starter for a two-month period.
No doubt.
And but now it's back to a very big, like, what are we going to get when Matt Waldron's on the mound?
Like I said yesterday, it's not a comfortable watch. It's just not. You feel like you're waiting for the dam to break a lot with Matt Waldron. That strategy, Ben, I think, I don't know if it's a good strategy for a knuckleballer or a bad one. I know it's a good strategy for other guys with maybe like four or five pitches in the arsenal to not, hey, I'm just not going to throw my curveball or my slider and I'm going to get these guys settled in and thinking I'm in a routine. Then I'll bust out that hook. Now the whole game's changed, right? But it just, with a knuckleball, I feel like, from what I've heard, don't you have to keep throwing it and keep throwing it and keep throwing it? It's unpredictable, but you have to keep throwing it. So don't know that that was the right strategy yesterday. Certainly didn't work in his favor. They got some good swings off of him, had a huge, huge inning. But he is, let's see, before the break, he was 5-8 with a 3.71 in his first 19 starts. That's absolutely serviceable. That ERA is absolutely fine. And he is, he's 3-6 with a 5.59 at home. It's kind of a pitcher-friendly park for him. He's just, his last, what, how many starts in a row has
five.
It been? Five starts have been terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you can
Not
run
true.
Him out there.
He pitched fine against Colorado. So it's been three bad starts. On August 4th, he went 5 2/3, two hits, one earned run, struck out seven. Against Colorado.
That's good. In Colorado.
The one before that wasn't good.
But
though,
then the one before that.
Four out of the last five.
Four out of five. Rough.
The one before that, and then the one before that, and the one before. Really, like, since the start of July.
Six out of seven.
He's had, like, one good start since the start of July.
So let's quickly address Mike Schilt's strategy and how he played that game, because I continue to see it. And I got the question, why did he not have a quicker hook? It's a pennant race. Why are you leaving him out there? And then especially after it's 8-0, why are you letting him go and give up 10 and stick it out? So I think it's a fairly reasonable, you know, way to conclude here. At the point where they went into the fourth inning, it was a 1-0 game, and Waldron was getting by just fine. He got the first out in the fourth inning. So you don't have anybody up in the bullpen at that point, correct? Your starter is 3 1/3, one run, looking decent. You're not expecting to make a pitching change at that point. All right, so then he starts giving up hits. And in a span of, you know, in real time, about 6 minutes, he went from 1-0 to 8-0. Now, at some point, you can say, we better get someone up in the bullpen. But they're going to take two or three batters to get ready. So even after... I mean, if you thought that, no one's going to give up one hit. All right, he gave up one hit. You're going to get someone up in the bullpen. So maybe after the third batter, you think about it.
It was
time anyone would have been ready.
Wesley says it's like four hits on five pitches.
Yeah,
I mean,
by the time anybody would have been ready, the damage was all done.
Well,
and then once it's 8-0 and his pitch count is still in the 60s or so, it's like, now what do we do? Are we going to? We got 18 games in 18 days. Are we going to ask our bullpen now for 6+ innings in a game that we really have very little chance of coming back to win? Or are we just going to say, now, Matt, we got to get you into at least the 90. So go and give us what you can, even if it's giving up some more runs. You gotta wear it now going forward.
Yeah, it's as simple as that, I think. 18 games in 18 days.
That's a
four-game series, a big series against the Mets. You can't kill your bullpen.
And the most important thing, the most is, and they will never admit it, you won the series. You won the series. So there is something, and I don't know if it's even conscious. It may be subconscious, Ben, where you're like, this game matters, of course. We're in a pennant race, but we're also in really good shape. So I'm not going to go high leverage, guys. I'm not going to burn Hoeing here, you know, after it's already 7-0. Like, there's no way.
He had also pitched the day before.
Right. I'm going with my lower leverage guys. I'm just going to punt, for lack of a better word.
Even after letting Waldron pitch, what, into the fifth or however long he went, you still ended up having to throw Jeremiah Estrada in the last inning. I mean, he's a pretty high leverage guy pitching in a game that you're down 6 runs at that point.
I'll say this. I think they pulled Waldron too early.
He was at 92. I thought they could have actually gotten a little bit more out of him. You know, some of the quotes after the game, clearly Waldron, you know, in his rookie season, that arm is getting a little tired. He's got a bulky elbow thing going. It's going to be difficult to send him out, at least again for his next start. The problem, as you just mentioned, who would the replacement be? Randy Vasquez, who did okay, has struggled badly at AAA. Now, a lot of guys do in that Pacific Coast League. It's a hitter's paradise, but he's had an 8-plus ERA in his starts since they sent him down. Yeah, Johnny Brito, who's been trying to stretch out, hasn't been completely healthy, came up and had a little bullpen stint for the Padres. He would be an option. You could try with a bullpen day, but again, 16 games in 16 days, that's a lot to ask out of your bullpen, that they have to cover an entire game in that. Go with like Hoeing and Reynolds as your guys. And then there's one other name that's been popping up, guy left-hander named Omar Cruz, who's been pitching fairly well for El Paso. He's got good stuff, but completely untested on the big league level, and you'd be throwing him into a really big situation here down the stretch in important games, really not knowing any idea of what you get out of him against major league hitting. So there's no easy answer as to what to do with Matt Waldron's next start or next couple of starts going forward.
I don't think there are easy answers, but I think there are answers that you can give that will cover your own ass, and I think it's Randy Vasquez for sure. I think if does that mean then, Ben, you send Waldron down? If his arm's tired, then yeah. I mean, he's got options, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you send him down.
Yeah, I don't think he's a long man in the bullpen at this point.
I don't think so either.
Yeah,
I don't
you
think
send so him either. Down, let him skip a start or two, or even put him on the injured list for 15 days.
Yep.
And you could now Vasquez is on track. He pitched yesterday, so it'd be normal rest if he went on Monday. That's works in his favor if you do make that decision.
It's a decent move. I mean, it's not, you know, the end-all, be-all, but it's a decent move, and it's a safe move, and he's got experience at the big league level, and he's had success at the big league level. I don't think there's much to wring your hands over at all. You know, you're going to need – you're searching. I saw Brandon Hyde yesterday, manager of the Orioles, was asked a question by the media because he's had – the back end of his bullpen is – It's Kimbrel blowing saves. I mean, it's not great. And they just asked him, like, what are you trying to do? And he said, I am searching for outs. That's what I'm doing. I am searching for outs, which doesn't make him – that's what every manager right now, especially these managers that are in pennant races, that's what they're doing. Mike Shildt was searching for outs yesterday. I really thought Jake Cronenworth would hit the bump yesterday. Of course, we scored, I think, too many runs for him to pitch the ninth. But – In the time leading up to that, I thought, what a great time to use him.
I was thinking about it in, like, I don't know, the fourth.
Yeah. I'm like, Crony, you better get that whip loose. But they scored too many runs for him to pitch the ninth. So, you're searching for outs. You're trying to cover innings. Makes sense to me.
Now, I'm going to say something that's probably going to make some people mad as well. I'm also not going to be stunned if Matt Waldron pitches again on Monday.
Because this
is Mike Shildt. He has a lot of faith in his guys. If you listen to him talk about Matt Waldron, it was mostly about how important he's been to the team and how many good starts he's had.
Yep.
And they also have a really good pitching coach who is going to, you know, review the tape and going to go with Matt for his bullpen and try to figure something out. And they may feel decent with Matt Waldron going forward. If they do, you know, something feels different, they may think that's still their best option on Monday. And you're not going to feel good about it if he's pitching on Monday in St. Louis as a fan. But I promise you that Shildt and Preller and Niebla are going to go through all their options, and they're going to decide on what they think is best for them, you know, holistically going forward as a team.
It's going to be holistic. It's going to be holistic. And I have no problem really with them doing doing that, bringing up Randy Vasquez. Again, he's had more success at the big league level than he has in the minors this season. So, you know, he's battled for us, certainly. Oh, I just pulled Jace Tingler out. He has battled for the San Diego Padres. And, yeah, I have no problem with him going against the Cards on Monday. None.
Wouldn't be surprised if that's the decision.
No, I wouldn't be either.
That they make. Just quickly, if we're talking about pitching, nice job by Sean Reynolds.
100%.
They battled.
Eating a couple of innings. Thank you, Jace, of at least, you know, not that they needed it to stay in the game, but they needed it just to save everybody else. And, you know, you didn't use any of your last, you know, setup guys or anything.
The bullpen should feel
pretty good going into this series against the New York Mets, which we already said, very important series, and you didn't put yourself in a bad situation going forward. Some ways, an 11-4 loss is way better than a 6-5, 11-inning loss in which you tried to win and tried to throw everybody out there and ended up still losing the game anyway. At least this one, you can save everybody for the Mets series and go forward. So,
well, the other thing I was happy about, again, for Mason McCoy getting his very first knock at the big league level, cool experience for him. I was excited when Jackson Merrill patted his rookie of the year
meaningless home run, but 100%. Not in the rookie of the year race. Nope. Those home runs all count and you know, go on to his stat sheet at the end of the year.
100%.
So that's good as well. This hour at 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Macy's. It's Macy's ultimate shopping event with an extra 25% off designers that rarely go on sale. 15% off beauty, too. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply today at Macy's, the ultimate shopping event. All right, we'll come back. We got a little real or fake on a throwback Thursday, chance to win a trip to Las Vegas, and more next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.